Welcome to the PCJ Media Archives. I'm Keith Pahon. On this edition, we go back to an interview conducted November 29th, 1987. This was at a time when international broadcasting was at its peak. If you spoke to many people at the time, they said that international shortwave broadcasting had a very bright future. But not many people expected communism in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union to collapse between 1989 and 1991. Since 1991, there have been, of course, tremendous changes. The interview we're going to take a listen to is with Alan Familiant from Radio Canada International. It was conducted by Boris Shidov, who was hosting a program that had just begun on CKUT in Montreal called Shortwaves.
Hello and welcome to Shortwaves, your weekly program covering international broadcasting on CKUT 90.3. Today I'm visiting Radio Canada International headquarters in Montreal. I'm joined by Mr. Alan Familiant, Director of Operations and Programming at RCI Radio Canada International. Hello and welcome.
Thank you, and welcome to the new world of broadcasting in Montreal. Looking forward to the station opening.
Exactly. I was wanting to ask you the first question. What is Radio Canada International?
Well, Radio Canada International is the shortwave service of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It is the shortwave service of Canada. When I say Canada, it's because we are the national broadcaster of Canada, the CBC. We don't broadcast as other countries do on a propaganda basis, and that is why we're part of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Exactly. What is the mandate of Radio Canada International? Because I've read in press releases that you, as you say, you are completely independent editorially from any government whatsoever.
The mandate is rather simple. It's to reflect Canada abroad to an international audience. Canada in all its aspects, economic, political, cultural, etc. And when we say reflect, we mean both reflect the positive and the negative.
Okay, very good. As you know, Radio Canada International is broadcast on shortwave around the world. Now, shortwave broadcasting is a form of broadcasting whereby you have use of the ionosphere and the signal is bounced back from the ionosphere back to the listener, and therefore you're able to listen to a broadcast from a fair distance from where it originates. And I was just going to ask you also, how are you broadcasted? I know that you have various relays throughout the world, and what kind of people do you reach?
Well, our main transmitters are located in Sackville, New Brunswick, where we do most of our broadcasts from, but we also have relay arrangements with BBC and Deutsche Welle, among others, and those programs are then relayed either via satellite from Britain or from Deutsche Welle transmitters.
Yes, and you have certain programmings. You broadcast in various languages. How many languages exactly is it?
We broadcast in 11, soon to be 12, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. Our main target area is Central and Eastern Europe, where we broadcast in 6 languages, 8 if you count our 2 official English and French. But they are Russian, Ukrainian, Polish, Czech, Slovak, Hungarian, and German. And, of course, English and French. We broadcast to Latin America in Spanish and Portuguese for Brazil. And we broadcast to Western Europe, Caribbean, and the United States in English and French. In the Caribbean, we also broadcast in Spanish.
I think I'd just like to point out also to many of our listeners that are just tuning in for the first time and are not really aware of what shortwave is. The actual statistics of the number of people that are listening are quite staggering. There are some 500 stations that broadcast throughout the world using 1,500 transmitters, and you have just recently done a survey of your total audience and how many people do you have listening out there?
We've done a survey in which the most recent figures we use are up to 85. And we estimate conservatively, and I must say conservatively, our audience at 16.25 million around the world.
Which is quite amazing.
of which three-quarters are located in Central and Eastern Europe, which is normal since most of our programming is directed to that area.
Yes. As far as budget goes for the Radio Canada International, what is your total budget? How is it going? I hear that there are some cutbacks.
Well, our budget is approximately, in round figures, $14 million a year, which comes from the appropriation of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. So we are in the small to medium-sized broadcaster on a comparative basis with Radio Netherlands, Radio Sweden, Radio Australia. As far as budget cuts are concerned, what you've heard has been around for a long time, and I think that stems from a general lack of knowledge in Canada about shortwave. RCI is known everywhere else in the world, but very little known in Canada itself.
Yes, I also wanted to point out a few years ago when I was studying in Eastern Europe, I used to listen to RCI broadcasts every morning because, you know, shortwave is one of the means of listening to a very balanced point of view as regards to news and other programs. And I'd just like to point out, I do believe that for a vast majority of people living behind the Eastern Bloc, radio broadcasting and picking up services on shortwave is very, very important. How many employees do you have?
We have a total of about 200, of which 150 are involved in programming.
And your variety of programs include?
The programs are basically built, as you know, shortwave is not a great medium for music, so our programs are mainly information-centered. They're half-hour long. You could subdivide it basically into three categories. It begins with 10 to 12 minutes of news, followed by a press review or a commentary on the day's news, followed by what we call spectrum, which is another 12 to 15 minutes of the general softer items of the day, covering the gamut from cultural to economic within Canada.
To Eastern Europe, you broadcast in Czech, Ukrainian, and in Russian. Are any of your broadcasts to Eastern Europe jammed?
No, they haven't been jammed for many, many years. And if I could expand on that, the usual question is, why aren't you jammed when the others are? Are you so harmless? And we have done a lot of study on that, and it's not the reason. The reason we understand is that jamming costs approximately twice as much as broadcasting. And the Soviet Union, until recently, used to concentrate their jamming on the large stations, which is why we were allowed in unjammed. Of course, now most of the jamming has stopped, except for RFERL.
Yeah, because I was reading recently a publication that is published by Voice of America on jamming, and apparently the Soviets are spending in the region of about $1.2 billion per year on jamming. As you said, jamming is very, very expensive.
That's right.
We've read in the McGill Tribune, one of the publications at McGill University, that you're expanding or you're going to be creating English courses for audiences in China. And well, I was just wondering if you could, you know, just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as you know, as you stated in the opening, our policies are totally independent of government. We do have a link with the Department of External Affairs, and I should explain that very clearly. The only link we have is that we consult with them on languages and target areas, and they advise us on where they think we should be broadcasting in the near future. Now, that advice comes, unfortunately, without money. One of the areas that they suggest as a high priority is Asia and the Pacific. We, with our antenna in Sackville, have not been able to reach Asia and the Pacific. One way of reaching China is, as a matter of fact, with McGill University, a joint project whereby we'll be teaching English in China, broadcast on domestic radio stations in Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Beijing. That was one way of getting the Canadian message into China. However, beginning April 4th, and this is the big news, we will begin an Asian service on a daily basis using Radio Japan's transmitters at Yamata. They have been using our transmitters in Sackville 4 hours a day, and we're going to have an exchange of time with them on a four-hour-a-day basis. We'll be broadcasting in English, French, Japanese, Russian, and Ukrainian to Soviet Asia.
Yes, it's very interesting. Incidentally, Radio Japan can be picked up fairly clearly on the 49-meter band. You also are beamed out to Europe via the Daventry transmitter in England, and that has been in existence for how many years? How many years have you had that arrangement?
I can't tell you the exact number of years, but there's a long tradition of cooperation between the BBC and the CBC and the RCI and the BBC. And that has been going on for a great number of years.
Oh, that's very interesting. So your expansion plans then include the Asian relay, and you'll be hitting a lot of people in Hong Kong. Is there anything else, and are there any other trends that you'd like to talk about? A lot of people have suggested that the trend now in Canada and in North America, for instance, is that people are listening and discovering shortwave. What do you feel? Do you have any predictions on that?
Well, that's a controversial question. Many people feel that shortwave is not the ideal medium to reach people in the United States because they don't have the habit of shortwave. But recent studies I've read show that there may be within the next 15 to 20 years a 4- to 5-fold expansion of shortwave, I suppose, based on the size and the small size of shortwave receivers and the lower price.
Yes, exactly, because a lot of sets now, maybe some of the listeners out there have radio sets, transistor radios that are very small, computerized. You can buy, for instance, the ICF 2010, which is programmable and picks up everything perfectly for around $500. There are even sets that cost less than that. And as you were saying, I think now with the advent of more technology and transistorized radios, you're able to pick up shortwave very easily. I was just wondering, are there any other things that Radio Canada intends to do?
Well, Radio Canada International, as you know, our main objective is still to reach Asia on a daily basis. We would love to start a Chinese service, but that is a problem because we don't have even the beginnings of such a service. So again, it comes down to the old bugaboo of funds.
Funds and budget cuts,
if and when
yes.
We do get funds, high on the priority is a Chinese service directed to mainland China.
You have, I read somewhere that you have in the region of 20,000, 30,000 letters that you receive each year?
We receive more than that. We receive close to 50,000 letters a year, and that's without any encouragement because we don't have a great staff to handle letters. And that, again, is a disproportionate amount of letters considering our small size, just as our audience is disproportionate compared to our size.
So as you were saying before, the vast majority of your listeners are in Eastern Europe. Broadcasts in what time do they begin? Broadcasts to the Soviet Union in Ukrainian or in Russian?
They begin early in the morning here, which with a time delay would be early evening in Moscow. All our transmissions are based on ideal times in the target area.
Exactly.
In Russian, we have 4 broadcasts a day. I think 2 in the morning and 2 in the evening.
So obviously hockey news and things like that you cover must be of great interest to your listeners out there.
Absolutely,
yes.
Hockey news, anything Canadian, Soviet.
Any sport actually broadcast live on Radio Canada?
No, unfortunately not. We carry sports results, sports scores as part of our news package, but with a half-hour block, you can't devote 3 or 4 hours of airtime to a sports event.
Okay, well, that was very interesting. Thank you very much, Mr. Alain Familien, Programming Director and Director of Operations at Radio Canada International. And we look forward to talking to you again. If you can keep us in touch with what's happening at RCI, we're always very, very interested.
Certainly will. Thank you, and good launching on your radio station.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you enjoy this program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.